I welcome you in the name of our Lord. You know, many of the Psalms, they chronicle, they reflect the life, the journey of the psalmist, or sometimes of the whole of all of the Lord's people. I think that's, of course, one of the main reasons why we love the Psalms, because we can find in the Psalms verses for nearly all of the happenings of human life. You know, you can get the wedding invitation in the mail and there's a psalm, a verse from Psalms on the front of it. You can get the funeral notice and there will be a verse from the Psalms, the memorial service thing. If you're going to go to the hospital to visit somebody, you may find a psalm to read. You're going to go fill out a graduation card, you might have a verse from the Psalms that you put on the bottom of the card. Just, you know, nearly all of the happenings and circumstances of human life get registered and chronicled in the Psalms. And those Psalms that reflect the life of the psalmist or the journey of the psalmist or the journey of God's people, those Psalms come, in fact, in various formats. There are psalms that start dark and end bright. You know, at the start of the psalm, the psalmist's soul is in despair. He's in trouble. There's dangers besetting him, or there's hurts that have been experienced, or setbacks. There's enemies that are triumphing. But then as you move through the psalm, the psalmist or the people of God get saved. They get provided for. They get victory. And then the psalm ends very brightly. It ends in a good place, a protected place, a strong place. So there are psalms that start dark and bright. Then there are psalms that are all dark. And there's not a lot of these, but there's some where the psalmist, he's not doing well at the start. You know, in verse 1, he's not doing very well. There's trouble and there's darkness. And then he does all of the verses, and he's still not doing very well at the end. Psalm 88 is probably the best example. How many of you have Psalm 88 as your favorite psalm? See, if there were 7,000 of us here, there'd still be no hands. Psalm 88 starts out, you know, with a psalmist crying out by day and by night because his soul has had enough trouble. But you go through all the verses of Psalm 88, and in the final verse of the psalm ends up with, my lovers and my friends are far from me, my acquaintances are in darkness. Have a nice day. The have a nice day isn't even on there. It's just ends in darkness. So there are some psalms that are all dark. They start dark and they end dark. Then there are some psalms that kind of chronicle and reflect experience of the psalmist or the people of God that start really bright, but then they turn dark. They tell a tale of how all was going well. I was in a blessed place. I was secure. I was in fellowship with the Lord and with his people. And then somehow everything falls apart. You know, the enemies start gaining a foothold and start winning. And I got discouraged and my soul plunged into despair. When heaven seemed to go offline and I couldn't get the Lord for anything. So there are psalms that start really bright, but then turn dark and end dark. And then there are some psalms that are all bright. They're going well at the start. Well, the psalmist is prosperous and confident and feels blessed and goes through all the verses and he's doing well at the end, still prosperous and confident and blessed. So here's a question. What's the right way to do a psalm? Of those four formats, start dark and end bright, all dark, start bright and turn dark, or all bright? What's the right way to do a psalm? Any takers? Anybody want to vote? E, all of the above. Okay, so now think for a second. So why are we thankful? And why, in a sense, are we glad that that the right answer is E, that there are all those formats? So why are you thankful, or why are you glad that there are psalms that start dark and end bright? Why are you glad for that? So a couple people respond. Okay, nice to have a happy ending. Okay.
Gives you hope that things will be getting better.
Okay, so if things are dark right now, it can foster and nourish hope that things will get better. I mean, you can still have a happy ending. Okay, anything else? Okay, second one. Why are you thankful that there are some psalms that are all dark? Okay, you think I'm not the only one who has that kind of psalm. Misery loves company, and you realize you have some. Okay, that's good. Other reasons. Why would you be thankful that there's some psalms that started bad, did all the verses, still bad?
Well, I thought mine was bad, not that bad.
Oh, okay, okay. Okay. Yeah, maybe as long as you realize there's some lower than you, you know, you're still doing okay.
Dark.
Okay, so maybe some of it is that dark paths, even though it's the right path, are just long. Okay, we've gone several miles and we haven't emerged yet into the light, but we're on the right path, but it's still dark. I mean, one of the things I put down here is just those all dark psalms remind us that right now, not everything gets solved. Not everything gets fixed immediately. When sometimes you have to do the psalm where, okay, yeah, it didn't start good, and we worked at it for 20 verses, and still not fixed. Because not everything gets fixed right now. And I think that that can be both instructive and, in a sense, comforting, that it can be like that sometime in life. Others have experienced it like that. So why are you thankful that some of them start bright and end dark? You know, everything going well at the start, kind of blessed and secure, and then it all goes south. Why are you thankful that there are some psalms like that?
Because it does.
Okay, because it does, right? Because that happens, that you can be in kind of a blessed and secure and prosperous place, and then it can fall apart. And, you know, a little ways farther down the road, you're struggling, and the enemies seem victorious, and the Lord seemed to move to Nebraska or something like that. So those things happen. So that is reflected in the Psalms. Thankful for that. Perhaps it's also a reminder that valleys don't come just because you screw up. It's not like if you get to a good place and never screw up for the rest of your life, it'll stay good all the way to the end. Valleys don't come just because you've messed up, and that's why you're back down low. If you don't believe that's true, go read the book of Job. He didn't screw up, but he got a pretty big valley. So how about the last one? Why are you thankful that there are some that are all bright? Start bright, go through all the verses, and are still bright. It's interesting. In some ways, that's the most attractive one. It's almost the hardest reason to give. Why do we like that? If you had a great day today and things look good tomorrow, why read a psalm, right? You know, you usually go find a psalm when there's some darkness and I need some help, either because it was going good and it's going south, or it's already bad and I'm hoping to get better, or it's been dark for a long time. But if things are all bright now, well, let's go for pizza. Why would we read psalms? But thoughts? Brenda, go ahead. Okay, that's, you know, she's saying, those ones that have darkness in it are often turned towards some of the happenings of earth and the circumstances of earth. And maybe those ones that are all bright are capturing and giving us a peek of things, how things are in heaven, how eternal things are. Think that, you know, think for a second. All through the scripture, whenever there's a scene of heaven, do we ever see a scene in heaven where they're having a bad day in heaven? We're sorry you visited today. Things aren't going very well today in heaven. There aren't scenes like that, are there? So perhaps that. Anybody else? All bright ones? Steve? Okay, maybe in some ways the all bright ones picture of heaven, but also set the bar or something like that. Well, it can be like that. Start bright, stay bright, and end bright. Yeah, it gives us a reference point, you know, a North Star or something like that. Okay. Today, we're going to look just for a few moments at one of the all-bright psalms. It's bright at the start, and it's bright at the end. The psalm will indeed reference some danger, some trouble, some sorrow, some darkness. But when the psalm is written, if you pay close attention, you'll see that the sorrow and darkness that's talked about, it's already in the past. Well, it's because he cried to the Lord, and the Lord heard his prayer and saved him. So the reference to darkness is already in the past. It's not present. The Lord has already delivered. So it's kind of bright from beginning to end. It's Psalm 116, and here we'll just read it first. I love the Lord because he hears my voice and my supplications. Because he has inclined his ear to me, therefore I shall call upon him as long as I live. The cords of death encompassed me, and the terrors of Sheol came upon me, and I found distress and sorrow. Then I called upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech you, save my life. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yes, our God is compassionate. The Lord preserves the simple. I was brought low, and he saved me. Return to your rest, O my soul, for the Lord has dealt bountifully with you. For you have rescued my soul from death, my eyes from tears, my feet from stumbling. I shall walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I believed when I said, I am greatly afflicted. I said in my alarm, all men are liars. Just a comment on that, because it's probably confusing about what that verse means. I believed when I said, I am greatly afflicted, does not mean I was really convinced of it when I said it. We use the word believe like that, but the scripture doesn't. What he's saying instead is that even when I said, or in that time when I said, I am greatly afflicted, I was still trusting in God. My faith was still intact. So I'm still believing, even in that time when I said, I am greatly afflicted. That's what the meaning of that verse. Not I really thought so at the time. What shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits towards me? I shall lift up the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I shall pay my vows to the Lord. Oh, may it be in the presence of all his people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his holy ones, of his godly ones. O Lord, surely I am your servant. I am your servant, the son of your handmaid. You have loosed my bonds. To you I shall offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving and call upon the name of the Lord. I shall pay my vows to the Lord. Oh, may it be in the presence of all his people, in the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of you, O Jerusalem. Praise the Lord. There's Psalm 116. Maybe I'll leave some of it up there. The psalm begins bright. It recalls how the Lord heard the cry for help, and he sent salvation, and he saved the psalmist. I mean, indeed, there had been in the past some serious trouble, some serious danger. The cords of death were there, the terrors of Sheol, the distress and the sorrow had been present. But the compassionate and gracious Lord, he heard the psalmist's cry and he answered. And so he rescued his soul from death, wiped the tears away from his eyes, and kept his feet from stumbling. So he was in trouble, but the Lord heard and rescued him and saved him. So he's thankful for that. And then, as he looks to his future, as he looks to the coming days, he anticipates the Lord keeping him and being with him. He plans on ending up in the Lord's house, in the midst of the Lord's people, giving praise to the Lord. So the psalm is very bright, too, at the end. Going to be in the Lord's house there in Jerusalem, in the Lord's people, giving praise to God. So throughout the psalm, then he draws some conclusions, both for that past salvation, that help that has come to him, and for that anticipated future, Lord's presence and the Lord's keeping him, he draws some conclusions. He says, Lord, I love you because you hear. I love this guy because he hears when I call. He tells his soul, return to your rest. He says to his own soul, relax. Well, the Lord saved you when you were in trouble. Your future looks good. Be confident. Enjoy. So return to your rest, O my soul. And he says that he will lift up the cup of salvation. He's going to give thanks to the Lord. He's going to call upon the Lord. He's going to serve the Lord. He's going to fulfill his own promises and vows to the Lord. So he draws some conclusion because the Lord has saved him in the past and the future looks good and he's confident that he will be with the Lord. So why write a psalm like this? Why write one? He's not in the midst of it. It's just remembering the salvation that has come to him and anticipating a future that's bright for him. Why write a psalm like that? I think part of the answer to that is a psalm like this is how people who believe in God talk. At least at times, how people who believe in God talk. It's the kind of thing that a person who has faith says. That if you're a person who believes in God, if you're a person who has faith, faith can affirm the help that has already come from God. The salvation, the trouble that you were in, and the help that came, faith can affirm those things. And faith can also speak confidently of help that will come if needed and when needed in the future, for all of the future happenings. When one speaks from faith, it's very possible to say things like, here's some familiar verses. When you speak from faith, you can say, confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus. That faith can affirm, yes, indeed, it's truly started. The work has begun. He's already been active. Faith can also say, I'm confident that it will get completed. It's not going to get derailed, aborted, or anything like that. The work will get completed. So a reference to the present, it's already started. Looking towards the future, it will get completed. Faith can say things like this. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, how Romans 8 starts. And well known how Romans 8 ends. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now there is no condemnation. Right now, it's all okay because there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And I am convinced that the future will be fine too because nothing, not anything you can think of, not anything that you can list can separate us from the love of God in Christ. So the future is going to be okay too. When you speak from faith, you can say things like this. The Apostle Paul says, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me so that through me the proclamation might be fully accomplished and that all the Gentiles might hear, and I was rescued out of the lion's mouth. And the Lord will, future now, the Lord will rescue me from every evil deed and will bring me safely to his heavenly kingdom. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. So the Lord stood with me, he strengthened me, he delivered me out of the lion's mouth, he saved me in that trouble. And also, he will deliver me from whatever evil deed might come in the future there can be. He will deliver me and bring me safely to his heavenly kingdom. So the point that I want to make today is in a sense, very simple. Sometimes it's very good to kind of like set back and let your faith say, kind of like, you know what? Grace has taken me safe thus far. And also to sit back and let your faith say, and grace will lead me safely home. It's just good to say that because you believe in God. You know what? He's helped me. Trouble I've been in, he's rescued me. Grace has taken me through many toils, troubles, and snares. Grace has brought me safe thus far. And also, whatever there might be in front of me, grace will lead me home. To let your faith say that. And then you let some conclusions flow from that, enter your life because of that. One of those is being, I love you, Lord. Yeah, you got me safe thus far, and you're going to take me home because I love you. And also you say to your own soul, return to your rest. And with respect to things that you're going to do in the future, you say, I will give thanks to the Lord. I'll lift up the cup of salvation. I'm going to run the race. I'm going to, you know, end up in the Lord's house among his people, giving praise to his name. So you draw some conclusions about what you'll be doing in the future. I'm going to pay all my vows and offer thanksgiving to the Lord. Now, one of the verses in Psalm 116 gets quoted in the New Testament. For $1 million, which verse is it? Don't cheat and look in the margin, Steve. Does anybody know? No, not 6. The verse gets quoted in 2 Corinthians 4. In 2 Corinthians 4, the Apostle Paul testifies to some of the trouble and the sorrow that he has experienced, some of the darkness that has come to him as he has served the Lord. It's in 2 Corinthians 4 that Paul says, you know, we've been afflicted. It's in 2 Corinthians 4 that says we've been perplexed. 2 Corinthians 4, he says we've been persecuted. We've been knocked down. Though it's also in 2 Corinthians 4 that Paul says, we have been afflicted, but we have not been crushed. We have been perplexed, but we have not despaired. We have been persecuted, but we have not been forsaken. We have been knocked down, but we have not been knocked out. It's in 2 Corinthians 4 that he says he's been bearing in his own body the dying of Jesus Christ. It's also in 2 Corinthians 4, though he says, but we're confident that even as we have borne in our body the dying of Christ, so also the life of Christ will be manifested in our fleshly body. And it's as he's talking about all those things that he says this, but having the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believed, therefore I spoke. We also believe, and therefore we also speak, knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and will present us with you. So that he quotes from Psalm 116 with, you know, in a sense he lifts it from its context where it says, I believed when I said I am greatly afflicted. That's what gets quoted here in 2 Corinthians 4. I believed, therefore I said. And he leaves out the I am greatly afflicted thing. And he realizes that just the presence of faith, the presence of trust in God, generated things being said by himself. And kind of what 2 Corinthians 4 is all about is, though Paul kind of chronicles, we've been afflicted and persecuted and perplexed, but he says, you know what, we're okay right now. We haven't been despairing. We haven't been crushed. Yes, we're bearing the dying, but we're confident that the life of Christ will be manifested. So he says, we're okay right now. Grace is doing okay. You know, we're here. We're doing okay. And in the future, we're going to be raised up with you and presented complete with you before Jesus Christ. So the future looks okay too. You know, knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also and will present us with you. So you're going to be united with the Lord and with the Lord's people. The same chapter where a couple verses later he says this, we do not lose heart. But though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. Our momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. I think all of us, including myself, we're thankful for all those different formats of Psalms. But if we're people of faith, people who believe in God, and people, I believe, therefore I spoke, every now and then, you should do, I should do, we should do, you should do an Albright Psalm. It's very close to, I think, to what Brenda said, because faith gives you assurance of things hoped for, conviction of things not seen. Faith is a thing that lets you see into heaven, lets you see into that eternal weight of glory. And by faith, you see that and you say, you know what? There has in the past, there's been times where it's been hard and it's been scary. But God has been my help in ages past. He's heard my cry. And so I'm okay. He got me safe thus far. And you can also, because you believe in God, say he is going to take me safely home. At least if he has the whole world in his hands. At least if he's mighty to save, he'll take me safely home. He raised up his son, he'll raise me up also. So every now and then, I think people of faith should do an Albright psalm. Say, the very fact that you're here, the Lord's doing okay, you made it this far, right? I mean, you're here, so you've made it through. So that testifies that the Lord has helped you. And then secondly, unless you doubt that he really is the Almighty or that he's really good, or really able to finish, not able to finish what he started, it's going to be okay in the future. And let that stir you, say, wow, I love him. I give him thanks. And I'm going to lift up the cup of his salvation. Those kinds of conclusions come. I just want to stand in the midst of his people and worship him. And also, you say to your own soul, return to your rest. It's going to be okay for you. Indeed, not only okay, it's going to be very good. Soul, take a break. Return to your rest. The Lord has been with you. He's saved you. He's helped you. You're okay right now. And the Lord's not going anywhere. Future's fine. Rest. Return to your rest. So draw that conclusion too. So as a person of faith, every now and then, eyes off of the earthly onto heaven and onto those eternal things, those permanent things. And yeah, I can do a psalm that starts bright. It's good now. And ends bright. Looking to the future is good too. And then draw conclusions that flow from being in such a place and anticipating such a future. Hope I captured it well enough that because I believe, therefore I speak. Do it with respect to the present circumstances and the future happenings. And it's bright because it's of him. Let's pray together. Father, indeed, we're thankful for, Father, that full range of human experience and thought and happenings that's reflected in your word in the Psalms. Father, all of them are meaningful and helpful to us, and we're thankful for them. Father, thinking today of just some of those psalms that are all bright. Father, help us as people of faith, people who believe in you, to realize that such psalms also belong to us. Because indeed, your grace has been with us. It's the explanation for how we've made it this far. You've helped us. Cared for us. You've heard us when we cry. Father, and we are confident that your grace is able to complete, Father, all the things that you've begun. It's able to bring us home safely to your house. Father, we do love you for it. We do give you great praise and thanksgiving for it. And Father, help our souls to rest in it. Whatever the rest of this day and tomorrow might bring. So, Father, we're thankful that you have the whole world in your hands, that you're mighty to save, and that you've chosen us to be your own. So, Father, it's well with us, and we give you thanks. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.